I don't know if you noticed the board, but your virus protection has not played out. If you have not got your flu shot, though, you need to get it, because it has not played out. We continue to wrestle with this PowerPoint. We will get it, though, very, very soon. My lesson today is not about the prodigal son. Actually, my intent is to use a statement made by Jesus in the parable of the prodigal son to set the foundation of our lesson today. You remember, though, the story. The prodigal was one of two brothers. He goes to his father and demands his share of the inheritance. His father, I think reluctantly, gave it to him, and the young man went to a far country and squandered his wealth in riotous living. Now, as long as he had money in his pocket, he had friends. But a drought came. He lost his friends. His money was all gone. And so he started feeding swine. Now, this was a Jewish boy feeding hogs. But he was so hungry, he wished to even eat the food that the hogs were being fed. And Jesus makes this statement. He came to himself. Another translation says he realized the situation. He came to himself and he thought, in my father's house, he takes care of his servants. There's ample food. I'll just go and I'll be a servant in my father's house. He changed his mind. His thinking became good again. And he went, and we know that everything turned out for the good. Now, brethren, we want to use that as the introduction, but we also have an introduction verse. Last week, when Keith was reading our scripture, he alluded to Psalm 8, verse 4. Coincidentally, in my own lesson, we also referred to Psalm 8, verse 4. And that, no doubt you will remember, is where the psalmist poses the question, "What is man?" Another translation says, "Who is man?" But for the purpose of our lesson today, I want to say, who are we? Brethren, who are we? In the big scheme of things, who are we? In God's plan, who are we? In Jesus' church, who are we? It just so happens that one of my favorite all-time songs basically asks the same question. I want to read those two first verses and then we'll get to the chorus. The song says, "Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt?" And the next verse asks, "Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light my way to my ever-wandering heart?" And we're going to personalize the chorus. "Still you hear me when I'm calling. You catch me when I'm falling. And you tell us who we are. We are yours." Brethren, the most important thing I could ever tell you is we belong to God, and God loves us with all of his heart. Now we're going to go to Psalm 8 and use that to introduce our lesson and quickly move to Genesis chapter 1. Who are we? We are God's creation. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 not only describes the creation, but brethren, it also gives us tremendous insight into God. With a word, he spoke everything into being. He is a God of power. He is a God of wisdom. When it was all completed, it worked perfectly and will continue to work perfectly until Jesus comes again. But something I think sometimes we fail to realize from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 is that we are very important to God. Yes, God was very concerned about the creation. He had it lined out perfectly. But brethren, you and I can see ourselves there also. Because of his love for mankind, he created things the way they are. Into the void of formlessness and darkness, he said, "Let there be light." And even God acknowledged that it was good. And then in the subsequent days, he created the other things. The birds and the flowers and the trees and the rocks and everything else. And those were good also. But brethren, then we get down to verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. We'll read 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And let them," that would be mankind, "and let mankind have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that walks upon the earth." And God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, brethren, I know exactly what that says. We know exactly what that says. But do you also realize in those words that God is showing not only a strong interest in the creation, but in a very personal interest in us? We are not merely things in the creation. We're not just merely things that God created. We're not just pawns on the giant chessboard of existence. We were created in the image and in the likeness of God. Can you think of anything else that was created in the image and likeness of God? So the difference between us and the animals, it's not the complexity of ourselves. It's not our ability to communicate. It's because we have had into our nostrils breathe the breath of life. And when the trees are no longer needed, when the animals die off, they're through. But our true essence, call it a soul, our soul will last forever. We are completely different than everything else. We're not animals, though I know science classifies us as such. We're not flowers, trees, rocks. We're living souls, created in the image and likeness personally by God. We have had God's breath breathed into our nostrils as we continue. Now, since we have been created in the image of likeness of God, what we need to concern ourselves with is the relationship that we need to continue with God. I know I mention relationship with God quite often in my sermon, but brethren, that's what it's all about. Christianity is about a relationship with God. Way back when Solomon was writing, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear or respect God and keep his commandments." That's the whole duty of man. So our question this morning, with various wordings, what is man? Who is man? Who am I? Who are you? Or who are we? I remember when I was in high school, I mentioned this recently in another sermon. In science, we were told that we are made up of various elements, mainly water, but water breaks down into hydrogen and oxygen, and then there's carbon and nitrogen and all kinds of stuff. And we were told at that time that the value of those chemicals is very, very low. So the human body, the value of the human body is just not that much. But brethren, our true value is not based on the elements that make up our body. Our true value is based on the fact that we are spiritual beings. Now, right now, we're looking at physical beings. We're sitting in a physical building, in a physical pew, and we're going about a physical life. But that's not where our true wealth, our true value is. Our true value is that we have a relationship with God. Isn't it Mark chapter 8 where Jesus says, and I'm going to personalize this, "What profit would it be for me," or "what profit would it be for you, if I could gain the wealth of the whole world if I lose my soul? What profit is it if I lose my soul? And Jesus didn't even need to answer. It is of no profit at all. Now, let's take our lesson in a different direction. I believe it was last week, maybe it was week before last, in my sermon, I stated that human beings are hardwired. And my point at that time was, we are hardwired to worship. There has never been a culture or a people or anything, at least in its outset, that did not have a desire to worship something or someone. But we are also hardwired in other areas. We mentioned this in our Bible class this morning. You and I are hardwired to love. We need to give love, and we need to receive love. I realize there are people called hermits, but how they exist, I don't know. We need to be with each other. That gives us our emotional sustenance. We eat food for our physical sustenance. We need food to survive, but we need to be loved and to show love to belong. And John gives us a lot of insight into this in 1 John 4, verse 17. This will take two slides to read. Herein is love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear brings torment. He that is afraid is not made perfect in love, not made complete in love. We love him. We love God because he first loved us. Paul was writing to the Romans in Romans 5, verse 6 on our next slide. For when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And we skip down to verse 8. For God proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our next slide is 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Basically, the last thing that Paul told the brethren in Corinth in this particular letter is, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, one more thing, and then we will end the lesson. Though all of us are vastly different, the most important area, we are exactly alike. If you've been to my house, you know I have my office there. And up in the corner of my office, I have some special little trinkets. I have some of those smooth polished stones that I gave some of our young men. I've got some other things. Also on there is a silver dollar in a little leather case. Evidently, in San Antonio, a man was running for office. His name was Ollie Wurzbach. He must have been running for office, and he gave these out. And on this side, it says, here's luck. This coin, this silver dollar, is precious to me because it belonged to Linda's mother. And so I don't know if I inherited it or just claimed it, but it's mine. Now, the important thing, though, about this silver dollar is face value, it's worth $1. I know because of the silver content, it's worth more, but face value, it's worth $1. I also had in my wallet this morning a $1 bill. Anyone can tell the difference between this silver dollar and this $1 bill. But on face value, they're exactly the same. They're worth $1. Just for grins, I got into my coin collection. I have an 1872 trade dollar. This was the coinage that America used when they started having regular trade in the Far East. They didn't want to send their expensive silver dollars, so they made these cheaper coins. But still, the face value is $1. So they are vastly different. But in the most important thing, they're exactly the same. Now, I'm looking at an audience and I see men and women, male and female, boys and girls. We are vastly different. But in one area, we are exactly the same. I don't see anyone out there, but I'll use myself as an example. I carry a little extra weight. It's politically incorrect for me to say I'm fat, so I'll just say I carry a little extra weight. All of you are skinny out there. We're vastly different, but in some areas, one area, we're exactly the same. Some of us are older, some of us are younger, vastly different in ages. Some of us have brown hair, some have black hair, blonde hair, white hair, no hair, you know. Vastly different. But in one area, we're exactly the same. Do you see the point I'm trying to make? Is exactly the same point that the New Testament is trying to make. We are different, but we are one. And here's our next slide. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Now, I want you to concentrate on the wording on that slide. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then we'll have one more slide, and the lesson is through. Keep your eyes on the slide. Paul writes, "For we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For we're all one in Christ Jesus. And if we belong to Christ, then we are of Abraham's seed. We're spiritual Israelites and heirs according to the promise." To another congregation, Paul wrote, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also it is in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And my final reading comes from a very new translation. And it says, "Our members are many and varied, but we are of the same body, the body of Jesus Christ." We have one last slide. Brethren, we need to be thankful for who we are. We need to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. We need to be thankful for the generation in which we live. We need to be thankful that God has given us all the ability to reach out to other people and help them find salvation. We need to be thankful for that. But most of all, we need to be thankful because we belong to Him. And that's why it's so important for us to understand what Jesus wants of us. You know, when I was raising my children, sometimes they did not understand all of my decisions, but as a conscientious parent, I made those decisions because I loved my children. I was not trying to deprive them of any happiness or independence or anything like that. I tried to instruct them because I loved them. And hopefully when they instruct my grandchildren, they will do so because they love them. Brethren, God has told us what we need to do to please Him. And He's also told us a few things that are going to displease Him, and He doesn't want us to do those things. Not because He's trying to restrict our fun or our pleasure. Not because He's trying to make us isolationists, which we cannot be. Not because of any of that. It's because He loves us. He loves us so much that He sent His Son to the world to die for us. I have not used this illustration in a long time. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to conclude. I would not give my son up for anything. And I know what it feels like to give up sons, plural. I would not give up Bo for anything. I would die for many of you, most of you. But I'm not going to let my son suffer and die. That was the problem that God faced. He loved us so much that he didn't suffer, but he let Jesus suffer and die. That's how much he loves us. We should never question his love. We need to remember that we are his. We'll let Barry make it up here now, and we will sing the invitation song. If anyone this morning realizes that though you might wear the name of Jesus, you've never really given yourself over to him. If today is that day, if for any reason you need to respond, then won't you come as together we stand and as we sing this song.